I guess I'm on. Wow. To follow up against those mighty preachers, amen. But praise God, we serve the same God. It's the same Holy Spirit. And it's awesome to be here again this morning and to present the Word. And I pray that it's a blessing to you, as much of a blessing to you as it has been for me in preparing this. So if we'd like to just bow our heads, we'll just dedicate this to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you this morning, Lord God. We just thank you that we serve a mighty God, a God who heals, a God who restores, a God who brings back what others have counted for dead, Lord God. And Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, that your word brings life. And that through your Holy Spirit, we can receive, Father. So, Lord, we just thank you in your mighty, holy, precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, I almost feel like I don't even need to preach this morning, in a sense that just the word that Pastor Patricia has given this morning and the follow-up from what Pastor Chris has said also too about just letting go of things, letting go of those things that distract us from following the Lord, our Lord and Saviour. Now, you'll see that in my message, you'll see a nice thread of that right through there. And I just praise God that he's used all of this to just bring it all together. And some of the things that were shown up on the clip as well, that also carried on with that theme. Now, we worship and follow a mighty God who just knows exactly the right word for each day. And I just praise him for that. In preparing a short message for last Sunday's cafe night, I sensed exactly then what God had wanted me to share. But fortunately, due to other circumstances, due to a visiting speaker from overseas, I didn't get it. I wasn't able to preach that night, and I praise God for that as well, because what was shared that night through Pastor Ian was fantastic and really flowed with what the Spirit of God wanted to speak for that night. And the ministry that had occurred that night as well was wonderful, and just what people needed to hear and needed to receive from God. So I praise God for that. And in a sense, I'm fortunate that now I can elaborate a bit more on what I wanted to say that evening, and present it this morning to you all as to what I feel God has placed in my heart. And I really feel that this morning is actually the right time for this message, as I mentioned before as well. So, but don't worry too much. I mean, I won't go for too much longer than what I've been on the cafe night, but still I just sense now that God can use this extra bit of time just to sort of bring the word to you the way he intends it to. So the theme of course, of last Sunday's cafe night was treasure hunting, and it was a wonderful night, as I said before. Even though the clips that I had brought, we couldn't play them. Sadly, unfortunately, they were corrupted on the USB stick. So never mind about that. But of course, God moved that night anyway, and some of the things that Pastor Ian had shared for that night. Really did actually flow in from. Actually, we've pretty much flowed in from what he had said that night as well. Also, too, because one of the things he shared about was where is our heart? Because where it says in the Word in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 21, it says that for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we were challenged that night about where our heart is. What is it? Is God the treasure in our heart, or is something else taking up that place where God intended himself to be in? And really that really speaks to us in the sense that, what is it that grabs our attention, from day to day? What is it that motivates us to act and to do the things that we do? And also, what consumes our thoughts every day? Is it the things of God that consumes our thoughts, or is it other things? Is it perhaps our job that consumes our thoughts? Perhaps our car, our hobby, sports that we play, the sporting teams that we follow. These are the things that occupy our minds mostly. And of course, once we dwell on things in our minds, those are the things that go into our hearts as well. So Pastor Ian illustrated how many of us today are perhaps filling our hearts and our minds with things that affect our motivations. Now, and there could be also things like worries as well, and things such as ambitions. And these things actually hinder our growth as disciples of Christ if we dwell on these things, when really we should be dwelling on the things of God. And we end up feeling frustrated too, because we have an inbuilt understanding of how we ought to be growing in the things of God too. But when we're not growing and we're occupying our minds with other things, we actually get a sense of frustration within ourselves that we're not really growing the way we need to be growing. And we feel like our life has plateaued to an extent, that we haven't grown, so we've just sort of plateaued. Months or years might pass where we just sense we're just still in the same place that we were perhaps months or years before. And we risk becoming distant from God when that happens. And although some of the things that perhaps that we do dwell on from time to time, they may be innocent things as well. They perhaps bring us happiness. But that happiness is of course only just lasts for such a short time, and we remain unfulfilled. There is simply cannot be a replacement of these things. Simply cannot replace God in our hearts. Now, the word also says that we are like aliens in this world, that we are ambassadors for Christ, but we are aliens in this world, and that the things of this world, because our home is actually not in this place, we're just temporarily moving through this world, that the things of this world can't fulfill what the emptiness in our heart, because we don't belong to this world, the word says. We actually belong to heaven. We belong to God. We belong to his kingdom. And so it's God. He's the one that brings the fulfillment. The things of this world are incompatible with our spirits. It's only God that is compatible with our spirit. Only he can fill us and fulfill us. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verses 22 and 23 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Here, the passage simply is saying that if God is the light, in the absence of God and the absence of that light, there can only remain darkness. If we fill our hearts and occupy our minds on mostly other things, then it is like pushing God away. When we remove the light, which of course is Christ, all we have left is darkness, no matter the form. So even though we might try and replace God with all these other things, in the end, all it leaves is darkness, because that's not what belongs in our hearts. It's God that belongs in our hearts. Now, actually, I remember, just comes to mind, a commercial that's been advertised a little while ago. Perhaps some of you may remember it. It's that cash converters commercial, where they go in and there's this hole, like, in their heart, which is the shape of an item that they want to buy from cash converters. And the whole idea of the advertising is to say that, you see that hole in your heart that's there? Well, we've got it at cash converters. Go over there and buy, and we can fill that hole. But, of course, that's a lie, isn't it? Because those things, okay, we might enjoy them for a little while. They might bring us a bit of happiness. But after too long, we get bored or tired of those sorts of things. And then we're back to having that hole in our heart again. Because that hole in the heart, it's not in the shape of a lamp or in the shape of a X-Wing starfighter, as I can remember in the commercial. But no, it's in the shape of God. It's God who belongs in there. Also touched on worry as well. It is not just possessions and passions that can take the place in our hearts too. The things that we worry about can also try and fill our hearts, because we dwell on things that perhaps we are fearful of or concerned about, perhaps that might potentially could unfold in the future. things such as financial worry, perhaps worry about the state of our families. You know, perhaps they're not as united as we'd like them to be. Perhaps we have family members who are ill, and we fear for losing those family members. Perhaps we ourselves, perhaps some of us here today are unwell, and perhaps the doctor's outlook is not all that bright for us. And so we can be tempted to just worry and dwell on those things. And you know, those are the things that Christ, as I think we heard already today, Christ takes those things. When he died on the cross and rose again, he won the victory so that he can take hold of those things and remove them from us having to worry about those things. Now, the value of treasure. I'm going to be flipping to and fro, I guess, because I've got a bit of what I had prepared for last night is in this as well, because it just ties in. Now, treasure is indeed something very valuable, isn't it? At least to the one who seeks the treasure. Now, I've got a picture that I gave the guys over there to put up. There we go. Well, it's up on this one. It's not quite there. Ah, there we go. Now, there are a couple of treasures there, aren't there? Now, there are a couple of my children. Yeah, I treasure them, as all my children, of course. I treasure them all. But Nathan and Bethany, I guess I'm sure you can tell which one's which, had bought me a couple of mugs for Father's Day after school, from the school Father's Day store. Now, the other two children also bought me things from this Father's Day store, but they were edible, and I ate them. Probably ate them either probably that morning I was given them, or perhaps sometimes during the course of the day, but they were equally as much precious. But, you know, they were precious in a different way because I was able to eat those things. But these mugs too I also treasure, because my children know that I enjoy a cup of tea and a cup of coffee, and they knew that by buying these mugs for me, that I would really take joy in those things, that I would, you know, enjoy drinking from those things. But to someone else, perhaps someone who just perhaps flippantly, you know, who maybe a visitor or something, someone who was feeling at home and opened up a cupboard and saw those two mugs in there, well, they would just blend in with the other 15 or so mugs in there. There's no real value in those mugs to them. And rightfully so. They're really, in essence, just mugs. But to me personally, because they were given to me by my children and for the purpose of me to enjoy a nice cup of tea or coffee in the morning, they are precious to me because of how it was delivered to me. And so the one that Nathan is carrying, the one with the noughts and crosses, that's my tea mug, just so you know. And the other mug, which is a bit bigger, is my morning coffee mug. It's the thing that gets me started in the morning. So they knew exactly what I was after. Okay, that's fine. We can't have them up there for too long. They'll take too much of the spotlight. Spotlight belongs to God, amen? So now what I'm about to say, I'd like you to just sort of keep in mind as we go through the course of this message as well. Just keep it in the back of your mind. It's one of the main points I just would like to share. And that is that whatever you consider to be treasure, or what is a treasure, is actually a choice that we make. It's something that we hold dear to ourselves. It's something that we consider to be a treasure. Perhaps someone else may not necessarily consider that same thing a treasure. Like, for instance, if you look at the Bible as an example, I mean, each of us here who are disciples of Christ treasure our Bibles. Now, I carry my Bible mostly in my pocket these days, but still from time to time, you know, I take out my Bible as well. But to the average person in the street who does not have a revelation of God in their life yet, probably just looks at a Bible as any other book at the moment, until they start to maybe open it and perhaps read it, and then perhaps God can speak to them through the Word. But until that time, the Bible perhaps doesn't hold any major significance to those to them. But to us, of course, who love the Lord, as love Jesus our Lord and Saviour, we treasure what the word is inside this Bible. So for us, it's a treasure. But to perhaps to someone else, it may not necessarily be. Other things too that perhaps are treasures to certain people might be, you know, for instance, maybe for a young man, it could be their car is a treasure. You know, it could be an old rusty bomb, but it's still a treasure for them. For someone, someone who likes gadgets and things, you know, like a smartphone could be a treasure, or a computer or something like that. And for someone who likes football, you know, their footy team could be a treasure. And I just thought I had to just say this. I can't let this one go. Commiserations, Gary, for yesterday. All right. We were watching it and Zachary was going for the Hawks, but the rest of the family were going for the Swans. Nothing personal, it was just this how it was. And anyway, Zachary felt for you. And in fact, all of us felt for you as well. You were in our hearts and minds. So I thought I'd just mention that. But yes, I mean, a football team can be something we treasure as well. So there are some important aspects about treasure also. Quite often we cherish treasure or hold it dear to us because a treasure is something that can be lost or stolen. For example, we may have our life savings wrapped up in investments or superannuation. And of course, just like what we know has happened, you know, in the last few years, there could be an economic downturn or some kind of collapse, and we could have accumulated over many years so much in investments and superannuation, and then all of a sudden it could just disappear or cut down by half, or you know, it could be here one minute, gone the next, as so often can happen with any kind of investment. And you know, these investments, you know, we're accumulating them either for our retirement or to provide an inheritance for our children. So they are dear to us, they are treasures to us. So we understand as people that a treasure is something that we hold dear also because, you know, it could be gone. We may not necessarily have it forever. Being a disciple of Christ doesn't exempt us from the troubles of this world. However, since we follow the one who is greater than the world, we now have a choice to put our trust in him who is greater. If you don't know Christ, if you don't have a relationship with God, then all of our treasure that we've wrapped ourselves around, if it goes and the worry starts to set in about what we're going to do next, there is no freedom from that. It's a natural thing to worry about what the future is going to bring. But when you know Jesus, when you have a relationship with God, then we can trust in the one who is greater. We can trust in him who is greater than the treasures in the world. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, or where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." And a lot of this has to do with our hearts as well. A lot of this has to do with our hearts. What do we treasure in our hearts? Is it our investments? Is it our jobs? Or is it God? That's where we start building up our treasures in heaven, putting God in our hearts. So let's have a look at God's treasure. We sort of had a bit of a look at what we treasure, but God also too has a treasure, which is interesting. Because God is the Almighty God. He's the creator of the universe. And to think that he has a treasure kind of sounds absurd. Because he can just speak things into creation. He can just speak things into being. Yet he does have a treasure. I'll just briefly just paraphrase a parable. And this is the parable of the lost coin. We already heard about the parable of the prodigal son. This one really ties in with that parable as well. And this can be found in Luke chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. But I'm just going to paraphrase it just for time's sake. And here in this parable, we find a woman. And a woman has a nice house, I guess, a nice house. And she has 10 silver coins. I'll put up five fingers. She's got 10. And one day, now, of course, with these 10 silver coins, these are her treasures. She considered these to be very precious to her. And, of course, 10 silver coins, even today, you know, they can be worth something. They can be worth something. So they are certainly a treasure. But one day she loses a coin and she only has the 9. And, of course, she's having lost the coin, of this precious coin, she's frantic about trying to find it again. So she's off and running and she'll go and she'll start to sweep the floors and look under the rugs and look behind the furniture and look under the bed and look under the pillow and look behind the light fittings and look all over the place to try and find this one coin. Maybe if she's game, she might peep her head up above the roof where the spiders and all the cobwebs might lie and see if she can find them there as well. But after all of this searching around, if she hasn't found it, she'll go and do it all again, perhaps with a little bit more, probably spending a little bit more time, a little bit more effort in those areas again, just looking again for this coin. But the word says, as Jesus tells the story, he also says that eventually the woman finds the coin. And how do you think the woman feels when she finds the coin? She's ecstatic. She's found this coin that she had lost. And it meant so much to her. But she is so happy to find this coin that she throws a party. She invites all her friends around. They sit around the table. She cooks them a beautiful meal. And they rejoice in the fact that she found this one coin. Boy, it must be some coin, eh? To invite your friends over to find them. That sort of thing, I guess, doesn't quite happen today over a coin. But Jesus is telling a particular story here, a really important one. And that is that the woman here, it really represents God, God the Father. And each of us here, we're like his precious silver coins. And whenever one of us is lost, whenever one of us is not responding to his voice, he starts to get concerned. It's like he's lost a treasure. And he will go seeking and he will do everything within he's all powerful. But he's also given us the freedom of choice. He's given us a free will. So when we choose to step away from him, he will do everything he can without impinging or getting in the way of our free will to bring us back to his kingdom. And that's exactly what he does. Whether we are unsaved or whether we've been saved and have walked away, God will go to great lengths to bring us back, like that woman searching for that coin. Also, too, the Bible talks about God being a jealous God. And there's actually a few scriptures that express this, but the one I'm looking at is Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. But I'm not going to read it. You can look it up if you like, but I'm not going to read it. And this scripture just uses the word jealous to describe how much God desires to have his right place in our hearts. Now, jealousy, when we think about jealousy, we think about really the sin, jealousy, don't we? And jealousy relating to sin is an extreme, really occurs when a person really has a hatred towards another because he covets or wants a treasure that belongs to that other person. Of course, this is a very dangerous position for us to take. We need to guard ourselves from such a sin. And of course, if we do fall into such a sin, we need to seek repentance and seek forgiveness. But here in this scripture and in other scriptures that use the word jealousy to describe God, a character trait of God, it's very different. Because God cannot sin, for a start. And he's not coveting something that belongs to someone else. Here it is, in this word, is describing his passion for us without the hatred that comes with the sin. Jealousy is very motivating, and God is indeed motivated out of passion for relationship to first be given his place in our hearts, and then, of course, to keep his place in our hearts. So he wants that place in our hearts, but he also wants us to keep that place in our hearts. And the beauty, however, of our relationship with him is that we are still in complete control as to how much we allow God into our hearts. Because of this, God treasures the time and his place in our hearts, since we have freely given this to him. We have freely given him that place in our hearts. That's why God treasures it so much. It's not like he's forced himself upon us. We've given him that place in our hearts. That's why he treasures it so much. And of course, because we have that free will, we can choose then, therefore, to force him to step aside, sadly. And sadly, unfortunately, it happens from time to time with many people. So yes, God can lose a treasure. He can lose us if we choose to step away from him. So if you remember the choice to treasure that I spoke about a little earlier, how we choose to treasure. Well, because we have given our hearts to him, he treasures that we've done that greatly. Now, I treasure those mugs my children gave me because of their thought and desire for me to enjoy them. How much more does God take delight in us giving our hearts to him? It takes enormous delight. But conversely too, when we sometimes make a choice that puts God second in our lives, how do we expect him to feel about that? We can get a sense, even now as we think about it, we can get a sense of how much it grieves God when we force him to step aside in our hearts. But graciously, God is extremely patient. And his word says that his love endures forever. Now, he will stay there. He will wait. He will wait for us to make the choice for him again. But it's as it says in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, that by surrendering ourselves to Christ, we also have died to sin. And it says in this scripture, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" So when we accept Christ into our hearts, and also too, being empowered by the Holy Spirit is so important, that sin becomes no longer a natural thing for us, that we actually have to make a choice to sin. Whereas before, sin was natural. We were born in sin. But since Christ enters in our hearts, and particularly when we allow the Holy Spirit to enter in as well, we have to try hard to sin. We have to think about it to sin. So again, it becomes a choice for us whether to sin or not to sin. But of course, we are in power. We always have a choice to not sin. So no wonder God jealously seeks to be and remain number one in our lives. At any time, we can still choose to replace him with a distraction, as Pastor Patricia mentioned, distraction, so did Pastor Chris this morning too. We can choose to allow a distraction to take his place, or a worry, which is something that doesn't belong there, doesn't belong in our hearts. Now, God loves us so much, and he jealously desires us to desire him. He has proven his love by first revealing himself through the Bible and by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross so that he can take the burden of sin away from us. That's the wonderful thing. I mean, God has proven that he treasures us by sending his son Jesus into our lives. sending his son Jesus so that he may go through a life of purity, a man without sin, so that he can be the perfect sacrifice, so that all of our sin can be just cast upon him. It's no longer our burden. Jesus takes that burden from us and gives us his love and gives us his grace and gives us a future with God and a place for God to sit in our hearts. Hallelujah. If we'd all like to bow our heads, we'll just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you for all that you've done in our lives, Father. Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning, Lord God, that your word never returns void, Lord God. And Lord God, we just pray, Father, that as we are here this morning, Lord God, that we've received your word, Lord God, and Lord God, we just ask you just to cultivate it, Father, just to allow it to grow in our hearts, Lord God. Lord, I just pray for each one here this morning, Lord. I just pray for the ministry that you've done in each one's hearts today, Lord God. Lord, I just pray that that your blessing just abounds in each one. We just thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen.